my hand anything at all. Ma'uma is a word that means nothing at all. And well, I didn't realize we were waiting to record this. I should say where we're at then. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 12, and we're going to be beginning at verse 6, and we've just been reviewing verse 5. And Samuel says here that that the Lord is his witness, and the Lord's anointed king is his witness this day, that the people have examined Samuel's judgeship, and they haven't found anything at all in his hand. In other words, nothing at all against him. And then it ended with, "Vayomer aid," and he said, "a witness." And the note on that is that perhaps it should say, "and the people said, a witness." In other words, they agree with what he said. Yes, indeed, Yahweh is a witness. So picking up with verse 6, continues the narrative with a vav consecutive. "Vayomer Shemuel el ha'am," and Samuel said to the people, "Yahweh asher asah et Moshe v'et Aharon v'asher ha'elah et avotekem me'eretz Mitzrayim." And Samuel said to the people, "Yahweh," and then the relative pronoun, "Yahweh who made asah," direct object, "Moses and Aaron, and who," and then this form, "He'elah." What kind of a form is He'elah? The He performative, the root obviously is Allah. It's just a hithil perfect of Allah. It's a segol when it's before a guttural. So, "and who brought up," in the hithil, Allah means to bring up, "who brought up your fathers from the land of Egypt." Verse 6 is kind of a funny sentence. Samuel is speaking to the people, and he says, "Yahweh who made Moses and Aaron, and who brought up your fathers from the land of Egypt," period. It's not a sentence, is it? It's just a big, long subject. Yahweh who did these two different things. And so a lot of the translations read this as further commentary on the Yahweh who is mentioned in verse 5. So he says, "Let the Lord be a witness," or "the Lord is a witness today." And then he continues that thought and says, "the Lord who," Yahweh who. And the phrase "made Moses and Aaron" is kind of a strange phrase. He asad Moses and Aaron. If you asah someone le, you appoint them to. If you asah someone le navi, you appoint them to be a prophet. You appoint them to prophet. But here, there's no le plus the office, but perhaps that's what's implied here. Perhaps you could read this as appointed. So it says, "Yahweh who appointed Moses and Aaron, and who brought your fathers up from the land of Egypt." Verse 7 then begins with v'ata, and now. Ata, this adverb now, can sometimes be used in English to introduce a completely new situation. So sometimes with vavs, especially vav disjunctives, we'll translate that in Hebrew in English with now. But the Hebrew word, atah, usually doesn't introduce a new topic. It usually introduces something that flows from the previous. So we would probably translate this something like, rather than just "and now," we'd probably say "so now," or something like that. It's because Yahweh is the one who appointed Moses and Aaron, he's the one who brought the fathers up from Egypt, now this is what... This is what flows from this. V'ata hith yatsavu v'ishafata itikem lifnei Yahweh et kol zidkot Yahweh asher asa itikem v'et avotekem. And now, and he gives them then this imperative. This is a hith pael imperative, masculine plural, from Yatsav. and the sense is take your stand or station yourself. And you can hear the reflexive hippael in that, station yourself, take your stand. And now, take your stand here, the asapata, or ashapata. You can see the root in that form. The root is shafat, which means to judge. But what conjugation is this? What conjugation? Notice the kamets under the shin. Mark said it's not just call, but it's a nithal form. The shafat in the call means to judge. And as a nithal, this is an example of a case where you can't just make the call passive always in the nithal. That's a good clue, but a lot of times there's some special nuance. And if you look up in the lexicon, shafat in the nithal, it's to plead one's case. To plead a case or to bring a lawsuit. So he's saying here, take your stand, and the form is first common singular with that aleph performative, ishafata. It also has an ah on the end, so an aleph performative imperfect with an ah on the end marks it as a cohortative form. And so we could translate it, and station yourself and let me plead with you, or let me bring my case to you. But oftentimes when you have imperatives that pile up like this, you have a second person imperative with the hith yatsavu followed by a cohortative, which is another volative form. When you have these volative forms in sequence, they can do two things. If you have two commands in sequence, it can be simply two commands, go and tell, something like that. But also, if you have imperatives or volatives in sequence, the second one oftentimes is some kind of a purpose clause. So that maybe a better way to translate this is, and now station yourself so that I may plead. Station yourself so that I may plead itikem with you, plural. Lifne Yahweh, before Yahweh. And here's the case that he's going to make. Here's what he wants to plead. Don't think of the word plead as begging, but think of it as more in terms of legal proceedings. This is the case that he's going to plead before them now. What does it have to do with? Direct object. Kol tzidkot Yahweh. All the righteousnesses. And when you have a feminine plural form like this, it oftentimes gives it some kind of a concrete sense, not just righteousnesses, but righteous acts. All the righteous acts of Yahweh. Asher asah itkem, which he did with you and with your fathers. Any questions on verse 7? All right, verse 8 begins not with a vav consecutive, but with something else. So it interrupts to some extent this flow of recounting everything that's happening. Samuel is speaking here still. And kaasher oftentimes means just as or as soon as. Here it's used temporally, but here rather than meaning as soon as, it probably just means when. It can also just have the general meaning of when. Ka'asher ba Yaakov Mitzrayim. When Jacob went, and Mitzrayim just sits there, when you have a noun just sitting there, and Jacob went Egypt, you have to do something with it. And a lot of times, a noun just sitting there is an adverbial accusative of some kind. This is an adverbial accusative of case, of a place. So to Egypt. When Jacob went to Egypt, Vayizaku Avotekem, El Yahweh, Vayishlak Yahweh et Moshe v'et Aharon, Vayotziu et Avotekem, Min Mitzrayim, Vayoshivum ba Makom Hazeh. This is a really interesting verse because the subject who's doing the verbs changes four times in this one verse. It's So it starts out when Jacob went to Egypt. And then you get the introduction of the main clause. So you don't translate the next vav consecutive as and, but after a temporal clause, the main clause will be marked with the vav consecutive. You just put a comma in English. When Jacob went to Egypt, your fathers cried out. The vav consecutive verb there is za'ak, to cry out. It's just a call, vav consecutive, masculine, plural. Your fathers cried out, El Yahweh, to Yahweh. Now another vav consecutive, Vayishlach Yahweh, and Yahweh sent. So the subject changes now. First, your fathers cried out, and then, and Yahweh sent. Et Moshe v'et Aharon, he sent Moses and Aaron. Vayotzi'u et avotekhem Mitzrayim, and they caused to go forth. That vav consecutive, you see the initial holom after the performative, yo-si-u. That's what first yods of hifils do. First yods of hifils get that O at the beginning. Your other clue that that's hifil is the hirik yod infix, yod-si-u. Yatha means to go forth, so the hifil means to cause to go forth, or to bring forth, or to bring out. They brought out, direct object, your fathers. What's the subject of they brought out?
Moses and Aaron.
Moses and Aaron. So this is interesting language. Usually in the Old Testament, who's the subject of the bringing out of people from Egypt? It's Yahweh. But here, Moses and Aaron brought out your fathers. And not only are they credited with bringing out your fathers, min Mitzrayim here, but look at the next clause. Vayoshivum ba'makom hazeh. That vav consecutive also is followed by an imperfect that begins yo. So we have another hifil here. Yoshivum. Notice the way that this form is doubly defective. Take a look at vayoshivum. The yo is just a holem. Compare that with the previous vav consecutive. Vayotzi'u. There you have the holom vav, which is normal in these first yod hifils. In this case, though, vayoshivum, you only have the holom after the yod. Also with the hirik yod infix, you have the hirik as your vowel here, the I vowel, vayoshivum, but there's no hirik, or there's no yod. So you lose your hirik yod infix. It's doubly defective. It's the same word. It just doesn't change the meaning. It's a hifil form, but it's a variance in spelling. And then it has a maim on the end. What's the maim on the end of that form? Vayoshivum.
Pronominal suffix.
Yeah, it's just a them. Third person, masculine, plural, object suffix. And they... Well, what's that mean? The hifil of yashav. What's yashav mean? To sit or to dwell. So the hifil would be they caused to dwell. They said maybe they settled them, or they caused them to dwell. I guess you could say they caused them to dwell. And ba'makom hazeh, in the place of this one, in this place. So who caused the people to dwell in this place? Moses and Aaron in this verse, which is a funny way of putting it because Moses didn't even quite get there into the land with them. All right, verse 9. He's telling the story now. He began with when Jacob went to Egypt, and the whole story is unfolding after that with this big series of vav consecutives. So verse 9. By Yishkaku et Yahweh Elohim. And they shakaked Yahweh their God. Shakak means to forget. This is a really frustrating vocabulary word to not be able to remember, because then you look it up and it's forget. Right? And they forgot Yahweh their God. this would be a good candidate since God has just given them, since he's heard their cry and given them Moses to bring them out of Egypt and settle them in the land. This would be a good candidate for a translation other than and for a vav consecutive. Probably but. It's in contrast here. Even though it's not a disjunctive vav, the context is pretty disjunctive here. So, but they forgot Yahweh their God. Vayimkor otam, vayad sisara, sar tzava katsor. Go back to that vav consecutive in the middle of the line there. Vayimkor, this is just a strong verb, call, vav consecutive imperfect of makar. Makar oftentimes means to sell. But Yahweh isn't literally selling them into someone's hand here, so probably you should render it something like gave them over or something like that. Transferred. Gave them over. Into the hand of is a really common expression. It just means into the power of. Gave them into the under the power of Sisera, Sar Tzava Katsor. Sisera would be one of those names in a different color type in our dream Bible of proper names being a different color. This is Sisera, the warrior. He's the Sar Tzava. Sar you learn as a vocabulary word as prince, but oftentimes, especially when it's something like Sar Tzava or Tsar and then Me'ah of 100 or of 1,000, Tsar Elef, it means commander of. Also can mean an official, but here probably commander of the army of Hazor, Katsor, and into the hand of Uvayad, Pelishtim, which is
Philistine.
The Philistines, the into the hand of the Philistines, Uvayad Melech Moab, and into the hand of the king of Moab. By Yilakamu Bam. This is a vav consecutive. The root is Lakam. And again, notice the comments under the first root letter, which tells you it's not call but Nifal. That Dagesh comments in the Lamed there tells you Nifal. So it's and they, Nifal of Lakam, to fight or to wage war. This is like the word for battle, Milkama, from Lakam. So, and they waged war, bomb, an adversative bait against them. Who waged war against who here? God gave the people into the hand of this long list of people, and they waged war against them. Now, you can't really tell, can you? It's one or the other, it doesn't matter. They fought, and they waged war against them. Verse 10. Vayizaku El Yahweh, Vayomaru, and then it's going to give their speech, and they cried, again from Za'ak, to cry out, just a vav consecutive, call imperfect, and they cried out to Yahweh, and they said, but take a look at that form there, Vayomaru. See how the form is written with a kibbutz rather than a shurik at the end. And notice the circule above it, and if you look out into the margin, this is actually a bona fide kare reading here. So it's not just a different way of spelling Vayomaru. It actually is the Masoretic's way of telling you and acknowledging, you know what, the text here is just singular. The consonantal text just says Vayomer, and he said, but out in the margin they want you to read, and they said. If you take a look down at the note there, 10a, yeah, that doesn't tell you much down there. Okay, so we'll read it with the Masoretes. And they said, and here's their speech, Katanu ki azavnu et Yahweh. They begin by saying katanu, just a call imperfect, first common plural of sin. We have sinned. For, and now they'll explain in what way they've sinned, or why they've just acknowledged that they've sinned. For we have abandoned, azavnu, we have forsaken direct object Yahweh, and now a vav consecutive imperfect, imperfect here just follows up the past tense that they've been indicating with these two perfects. We've sinned, for we've abandoned Yahweh, and we have avoded, not avode. We have served, direct object, ha ba'alim. We've served the Baals, the et ha ashtarot, and the Ashtaroth. Va'ata, and now we have va'ata again. It signals not the introduction of a new scene, but rather the logical implication of what's just happened. And now, ha'silenu miyad oyvenu v'na'av deka. And now, what kind of a form is ha'silenu? Okay, nipal participle, that's not a bad guess. Although nipal participle actually looks a lot like the nipal perfect. It just begins with a nun hirik. It's a hithil form, and when you have a hithil with a potok under the hay, it's not perfect. So it's going to be either imperative or one of the infinitive forms. It has an anu on the end of it, and so it has an object. That rules out the infinitive absolute, and in this context, this is just functioning as an imperative. What's the root? It's from Natsal. Yeah, you see the dagesh in the Sade there, where the nun has assimilated. Natsal is hithil basic. It has its normal meaning, its basic active meaning in the hithil. So it's not cause to rescue, but just simply rescue. So, and now, rescue us from the hand of our enemies, and we will serve you. Na avadaka. Here is an example of an imperative. We have that hithil imperative of Natsal there, followed by not a vav consecutive imperfect, but a simple vav plus imperfect. Take a look at the last verse there in verse 10. Notice that it's not a vav patak at the beginning with a dagesh in the performative like a vav consecutive. It's just an unconverted vav, a simple vav plus imperfect. And that's a common way of expressing a result clause in Hebrew. An imperative followed by a simple vav plus imperfect gives you oftentimes the nuance of result. So rather than just rescue us from the hand of our enemies and we will serve you, the sense here is rescue us from the hands of our enemies so that we may serve you, or so that we will serve you. Any questions on that verse? How long do we usually go? Just till 12:25? 12:30? 12:30? All right. We'll do a couple more verses then. Verse 11. Vayishlach Yahweh. And Yahweh sent. Et Yerubal, the et Badan, the et Yiftach, the et Shemuel, Atnach. So we'll pause there. This is another list of different colored words. These are all proper names. Okay, he sent. However you want to transliterate these, Jerubbaal and Badan and Yiftach. Yiftach is generally read as Jephthah in English, so if you remember Jephthah from the book of Judges, and Shemuel, Samuel. God sent all of these in response to the people's cry to deliver them from this list of oppressors, including the Philistines. And after he sent these, Vayatzel etkem miyad oyvekem. Misaviv v'teshavu betak. And he, it's a third masculine singular imperfect, Again, it's from Natsal. Notice the Patak under the Yod performative of Vayatzel. That tells you Hithil. So it's a Hithil of Natsal, and he rescued Etkem. We've had a couple times in this context Itakem with a Hirik and then a doubled Tav. This is Etkem. This is the direct object marker plus you plural. And he rescued you from the hand of your enemies, mi saviv. Saviv is an adverb of space. It means all around. And mi saviv just means, it just kind of accentuates it, from all around. In other words, the enemies all around you. Then the last vav consecutive there. We've had a lot of third-person vav consecutives. This is a vav consecutive with a tav performative. So it's now second-person masculine plural. And you, te-shevu. Te-shevu. What's the root here? It's from yashav. If there were a comments under the tav, that would tell you it was shuv. With a hollow root, but Sere under the performative, that tells you it's a first yod form. So, and you dwelled batak. You guys know what the word batak means? Yeah, it's acting here as an adverb. The root batak as a verb means to trust, and betak as a noun means trust, like the trust that I have in Yahweh. And here the noun is just acting as an adverb. It's acting adverbially. And when it does, it means safely, securely, soundly. All right, any questions on 11? 12 is pretty long, and we're about out of time, so I'll just kind of fly through 12 here for fun. Va-tiru. And you saw, this is from not from Yare, but from Ra'ah, the third hay has dropped off. And you saw ki, following a verb of perceiving, ki usually means that, introduces the content of what's perceived, or in this case seen. And you saw that Nakash, this is a proper name, Nakash, the king of the sons of Ammon, so the king of the Amorites, Ba'alekim, came against you, or since you're talking about their perception, you might say, and you saw that the king of the Amorites had come against you. This is the adversative use of all. If you want to say against in Hebrew, you generally either use buh or all. Vav consecutive, by Tomaru Li, and you said to me, no, lo, ki melech yimlok aleinu. No, but a king will reign over us. Okay, this is echoing back from chapter 8 when they were having a discussion, what are we going to do here? And Samuel was saying, Yahweh is your king, and the people said no. Rather, we want a king, real king in their mind, to rule over us. So he says, you saw that you had this enemy coming against you, and you said to me, no, but a king will rule over us. Vayahweh Elohekem Malkakem. And Yahweh, your God, your king. Malkakem is just Melech plus Kim. What are you going to do with that at the end there? And Yahweh, your God, your king.
Yahweh is your God.
Make it verbless. So, and Yahweh, your God, is your king. But here, probably, since it's vav plus a non-verb, we'll make it disjunctive. Yeah. Or even more nuanced than but, maybe something like even though. But does the trick too. But Yahweh was your king. And the thought is, you said we want a king, but Yahweh was your king. He's just, again, marveling at their request. We'll stop there and pick up at verse, what verse did we get to? We're ready for 13. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
And gals.